Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this February 10th, 2008 episode of the program, you'll hear when Lance is back, which TV magician could get his own Vegas show, and where you can see Christopher Walken dozens of times per day. And stay tuned later to find out why Chris Angel is not dead or seriously injured. But on the phone to help me with all of this is a troika of gentlemen who helm one of the most venerable magic companies in the world. Among their upcoming slate of releases are The Cardiologist Deck, Geek Magic, and The Royal Scam, amongst many, many others. They all also contribute to their own blog, which can be found at royalmagic.blogspot.com. Ladies and gentlemen, iTricks is very proud to welcome Gabe Fahouri, Tomas Medina, and John Stirk to the podcast from... Fun Incorporated. How you guys doing?
Oh, great.
Fun.
It's always fun out there in the windy city of Chicago for you guys, right?
That's right. We don't work for money. We work for fun.
All right. So just so everybody can keep the voices straight, if you guys could just introduce yourselves real quick.
I'll go first.
Okay.
First of all, Justin, longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tomas Medina.
All right. And John, just so we know your voice.
Yeah, hi, this is John Stirk. I'm the new guy here at Fun.
There we go. Hey.
And my name is Gabe Fahouri.
All right. And, of course, many might recognize Gabe from your writing. You write for Magic Magazine, of course. I remember you had the big article on Illusionist and Penguin a few months back that I was a very, very big fan of.
That's correct. Thanks.
All right. If you guys would like to fire back on anything you hear on the podcast, email show@itricks.com. Let's get right into it. It is official again. Lance Burton's return date has moved back from this Wednesday to Friday the 15th. Rumors have it that the Monte Carlo, as well as Clark County, Nevada, wants the entire damaged facade of the casino to be repaired before they open themselves back up for business. Timing, of course, guys, can be everything as a company with such a long history. How important is timing and presentation to the stuff that you guys do so well?
Tomas.
A pass. Go to John.
Well, timing's definitely an important thing. I mean, especially when we're marketing effects. We were looking at some effects that more of a Christmas theme after Christmas. But we're going to hold off on actually releasing some of them until a little bit closer to the season.
That is true. I mean, we were successful with our release of the Boris Wilde Mark deck, and then maybe a year and a half later we released the DVD on the Mark deck. So maybe if we would have released them side by side, we probably more people would have purchasing the DVD on the Mark deck than the.
Well, I mean, I'd say the book that we put out in conjunction with the deck was successful. I think we sold as many copies of it inside of 3 months or 4 months as Stephen Minch sold of his Mark deck book in 2 years, because we released
right.
it concurrently with the deck.
Yeah, so you guys can make more of a splash and take advantage of it. But considering you guys do release so many tricks back-to-back-to-back, I mean, obviously you guys have a slate that you put out over the year. What is kind of the magic number in terms of time that you want to wait between things? Or does it really matter only when they're almost competing products?
I think that if you know the answer to that question, Justin, you should probably let us know what the answer is.
I don't think that they come off. I mean, we have so many tricks in the works. I'm always harping Gabe, going, when are we going to release this? When are we going to release that? I mean, I wish that they would come out quicker, you know, but we just want to make sure everything's right.
Could Vegas be adding yet another big name? 353 Group is reporting that Keith Barry has lined up a few more shows on the UK network ITV for 2008 after the success of his somewhat controversial New Year's special. But the big news is they also say that Barry has lined up a Vegas show, which he could take over by the end of the year. On a scale from 1 to 10, and I guess we'll start with the John, the new guy, how excited are we for a Keith Barry Vegas extravaganza?
I'm going to go with a 7.
A 7. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 7. I mean, there's a lot of magic in Las Vegas. There's always room for a little bit more. But I always remember, I think I heard a statistic somewhere that said Las Vegas has got the most magicians per capita. And there are only two kinds of magicians in Las Vegas, those who are successful and those who are starving.
Yeah.
But, of course, 78% of statistics are made up on the spot. So
there we go.
Make it out.
Well,
yeah, what's Mark Twain's line? There are lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I think the biggest story last year was just kind of the attraction of bigger names to Vegas, with Chris Angel getting his deal, Pamela Anderson coming on with the Hans Klock show. But considering what happened to Hans, that he was out before the year was done.
He's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's out. He's touring Europe again. Really, I think that the biggest story is when you come in with a big splash and you have a big name, how many people are you going to pack in, and how much is feasible? And is a guy like Keith Barry, who's relative, who's big in the magic world and had a CBS special.
Well,
that's the problem.
Where have I been? Gosh. Come on, you're way too busy working. Probably.
You know, is that something that people would want to go to see? I mean, Gabe, we were talking a little bit before the podcast that this might not be something that you would rush out and want to go pay a ticket for, the same way that maybe in other big shows would be.
If I was in Vegas, you know, since I've seen most of the other shows out there, I would probably go check it out. But I don't know Keith Barry from, you know, Keith Richards. I mean, I just...
Well, Keith Richards probably weighs less and plays better guitar.
Closer to death and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Keith Richards can also not be harmed by mortal weapons.
That's true. So if you put Keith Richards in a noose, he probably would not die. But I haven't seen Keith Barry's TV special. I really don't know anything about him. So the jury's still out, I guess.
Yeah, I really hope that he can live up to his hype. But the problem that when you had Jerry McCambridge on a little while ago, they were talking about Hans Klock and Pamela, and Pamela didn't come in till way towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
So, and people were very disappointed with that. That's why they came to see it, didn't come till the end. So I hope that...
takes her time to put on that outfit.
Yeah. So I hope that when Keith starts a show, that he can live up to his own hype.
Looks like we'll have to wait a little longer until we watch David Blaine stay up all night and day and night and day and night, and you get the picture. The Brooklyn magician postponed his special, which was to take place in May, where he will attempt to break the world record for sleep deprivation. The magician tells the New York Post this week to expect things to come together in late summer. You guys interact with a lot of people, both on the internet as well as in your business, and Gabe, obviously, with the reporting and writing that you do. Where do you think that Blaine stands with the magic community, and what do you think that they would want out of him right now?
I don't know. I've come full circle on Blaine. I'm all for him. I really like what he does. I really like, my understanding is he's going to try to put more magic into the special, whether or not he's asleep or awake or whatever. Whatever they're going to film is going to include a lot more tricks. I like him a lot more than the other guys that are on TV right now. So I'm
same
looking
here.
Forward to another special.
I agree with you, Gabe. I've heard some of the same things. And the one thing that as soon as I heard about this, that really struck me was with, Drowned Alive, he had an end point. He had a point where, okay, either gets out of the chains or he doesn't. So for television, it builds up to that kind of drama. If he's just staying up for 2 weeks or whatever goal he sets, the drama's going to have to be carried by the magic.
Or they're going to find some other way to do it. You know,
or the drama's going to be the moment he keels over. We'll capture that on film.
Yeah.
Or from his mama, I guess. Yeah.
I still think really the ingenious part of this kind of endurance done from a marketing perspective is if David Blaine slowly loses his grip on sanity and however played up that is, you know, just the TMZ clips alone of him yelling at passersby in Central Park, I think would be worth the price of admission.
You know, am I the only person who just can't really, I don't know, I'm sure other magicians, but every time they interview him afterwards, or like Oprah interviews him, he's like the worst actor. He just doesn't really, I mean, the way he, I don't know, sometimes I shake my head, but I think he's cool. I like the idea of David Blaine. I like the persona, but sometimes when I just hear him talk, I just cringe.
He's not exactly a chatty Cathy.
Well put, John. All right. Well, we are very proud to say here at iTrix that right now we have a word from our sponsors. Same old online shops got you down. Feel like trying something new? Visit the new TrickShopMagic.com. TrickShopMagic.com just isn't an online store. They're a real live magic shop in Southern California, catering to everybody from hobbyists to professionals. They have competitive prices and superior customer service. Bob Elliott says the Trick Shop is without a doubt the best magic shop in the world, and Morgan Strebler says the Trick Shop rocks. I can't wait to come back. Also, for the month of February, let them know you're an iTrix listener in the comments box at checkout, and they'll send you a free magic trick or DVD with every order. Remember, check out TrickShopMagic.com today.
And yes, they do carry Fun Incorporated product.
There we go.
Excellent work there, John.
Way to go. Way to go, John.
Thanks. I thought I'd slip that in.
Way to piggyback on the plug. A new ride at the Universal Studios Florida theme park has become the largest scale permanent attraction to utilize the Pepper's Ghost illusion. Disaster puts writers in the middle of a disaster film while Christopher Walken interacts with the participants. Technically, the technologically enhanced illusion is called Musion, but it places select writers side by side with a walk-in-played schlock director, Frank Kincaid, who instructs them how to play bit parts in his new movie, Mother Nature, starring The Rock. Various versions of Pepper's Ghost have been used in Disney's Haunted Mansion and recently in an off-Broadway play where it was used to portray the actors themselves as ghosts. Guys, is there any other illusion that you can think of that gets as much play in non-magic attractions as Pepper's Ghost? And I guess this one goes to Gabe, who was nominated before the podcast as the designated answer for this question.
As much play in the general public as Pepper's Ghost?
Yeah.
Dear God. I think the answer is no. When you start thinking about fairgrounds and carnival attractions and the girl to gorilla and all that sort of thing, it really beats it hands down, and it's got longevity on most of the other fairground type illusions. For the public type attractions, Sphinx table or a living head might get close, but my guess is that Pepper's Ghost is the winner hands down.
Wow, Gabe knows magic like a nerd.
That's why we love him.
By curse.
Well, I'll tell you what, if there is any fertile ground for that kind of knowledge base, it's definitely the Magic Week in Review podcast.
I mean, I what I think is curious about the whole thing is that they've chosen something that is a relatively, it's not the easiest thing to go and build in comparison to something like a Sphinx table. Where you see them very crudely put together, slapped together with some mirrors. Here, there's actual, some actual science involved, not that there isn't science involved in reflecting light, but it's a little trickier trick than some of the other things that you see out there, although not as frequently anymore since there's no such thing as a sideshow anymore.
And we are a lesser country for it.
I think they even used the Pepper's Ghost in a James Bond movie.
Really?
That's what Steve told me.
What? Yeah, which one? Yeah.
I can't even remember.
No, I'll tell you what. This is great. All right, everybody listening to the podcast.
Trivia question.
Everybody listening to the podcast right now, if you can email show@itrix.com with the James Bond movie where Pepper's Ghost, the illusion, is used, we will see if we can get something your way. But
maybe he said it was an earnest movie.
I remember. I remember which one.
Don't spill the beans. Don't spill the beans.
I know.
All right.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. We'll tape you at the end of the podcast, and then we'll play it like a Celebrity Jeopardy question in next week's podcast when we get the correct answer.
Okay.
All right. Well, you guys have over at Fun Incorporated just billions and billions of tricks to sell, but a few new things coming out, including Bannon's Royal Scam. Talk a little bit about that.
That's right. The newest effect we've got coming out is the first in John Bannon's Fractal Card Magic Trilogy. And this is a version that John put together based on the Roy Walton Cascade Effect and the sympathetic cards. Basically, what John's doing with these with this Fractal Card Magic, it's packet tricks. Now, John doesn't like the term packet trick, so we went with fractal card magic. And the idea is to get these effects that all end clean and completely examinable. So So I know that there's been some chatter out there on the Magic Webosphere or on the interwebs.
Yes.
That they really like the fact that, you know, they watch the demo vid, the girl picks up the cards at the end and starts looking at them. And, yeah, you can really do that.
Excellent. Excellent. And that is that already out, or is that coming out soon?
Yeah, that's
out. It's already available.
It's already available at your favorite Magic dealer.
Okay. And Geek Magic. Can we talk a little about that?
Well, Geek Magic was released back in the 05.
Oh, wow.
But that's kind of like the DVD that people know me from. It's basically mother-approved sideshow stunts where I teach you how to eat glass and swallow balloons and stick stuff up your nose and in your mouth. It's a fun DVD to watch. A lot of people say it's probably one of, or at least my girlfriend hates Magic DVDs, but she says that it's pretty entertaining to watch, and the tricks are cool.
And so for all of our younger middle and high school age listeners, certainly ways to...
You know what? There's an 18, you have to be 18
oh,
and up.
Oh, really? Then stay away from it,
the
kids.
Tricks. Because, Justin, the tricks are to the heart, to the core.
Ah!
It is a little, you know, a little. See, you are playing with broken glass and stuff. But, again, everything is safe. You're not really doing anything dangerous, but there still is a warning on there. However, when I do a lot of my lectures, you know, 12-year-old kids are always the first to come on up and ask me if I'm going to, you know, eat glass or whatever. I'm sure they've already purchased the DVD. So
here we go. You commandeered a cool uncle or something to go and purchase the DVD for him.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and Gabe, you have some writing coming up. First off, you're doing a bit of an introductory Magic thing from some very, very cool people who put out a line of books that we all very much know, right?
Yeah, the publisher is Quirk Books, and the book that I've recently completed and is slated for a fall 2008 release, probably in October, is Mr. Mysterio's Encyclopedia of Magic and Conjuring, and should be available in pretty much all bookstores and Amazon. And it's a big, fat introduction to magic, cards, coins, ropes, silks, illusions. It pretty much runs the gamut, and I'm looking forward to it. It'll be illustrated by Tony Dunn, and it should be a 400-page hardcover book.
Awesome.
Available just in time for Christmas.
Man. Sounds like a tar bell for the new millennium.
Wow, John, that was awesome.
Excellent work, John.
There we go. It's like an alley-oop team, you guys. Running the break like the Phoenix Suns when it comes to the plugs.
we hit the open man on the give and go.
And, of course, Quirk Publishing, for those who don't know, put out the Worst Case Scenario Handbook. So you're definitely a very good company in terms of their slate. And you have something coming out a little bit closer to now is the Okito book that you put together, right?
Yeah, I'm before Jay Marshall passed away, he sold me the rights to Okito on Magic, which has been out of print for about, oh man, it's 35 years. And so in addition to the material in that book, I've compiled his entire Hand Shadow Act, some unpublished material, it's going to be a big book about one of the most important thinkers and performers in Magic from the first half of the 20th century. Akito, Theo Bamberg, and I expect that to be ready in the next, I'd say, 3 months and available from Squash Publishing, Fun Incorporated, and a Magic dealer near you.
That's awesome. So, you mean you really got the bookends going there. You have the big tome on the beginner Magic, and you got some really awesome old school stuff. That's very cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've definitely grown throughout the years. I mean, most people know us for Fun Incorporated, for Royal Magic, but, I mean, we do have a line of tricks that you probably have, you know, heard, but you just don't think that they're manufactured by Fun. I talk to a lot of customers on the phone, and they don't even know that we hold the rights to Cartoon and the Boris Wilde deck and Newton's Nightmare.
Awesome.
We're one of those companies that, you know, we're blessed with a solid line, Royal Magic, and then we're trying to strengthen our magician-friendly tricks.
Awesome.
On top of all the magic, is we've also got the novelty line that we do. When people ask me, well, what do you do at Fun? I love telling them, well, I sell fake vomit and the little wind-up chattering teeth.
Yeah, we're the creators. Did you know we're the inventors of fake vomit and chattering teeth, jumbo sunglasses?
No, I did know fake vomit. I did not know chattering teeth. That is awesome.
Yeah, we actually own the patent, the U.S. patent on the chattering teeth. Although I've always wanted to do, I've always wanted to wind all of them up here in the factory and let them all go at the same time.
You can do that this weekend, John.
Okay, nobody else is going to be here. Perfect.
Yeah, just clear out some time on the schedule there and just make it all John's chatter Chatter Factory.
Wide open. Wide
there's a lot of history in Fun Incorporated. The company's been around for many years. And
Okito actually used to work for Fun Incorporated,
oh, wow.
Believe it or not.
Wow, yeah. Look at that. Fun fact.
I learned something, too.
Martin Gardner worked for Fun Incorporated.
Gabe Fahuri.
Yeah.
Tomas Medina.
Anyway.
John Sterk, I just wanted to say your name. I didn't want to leave you out, John. All right, now real quick, let's talk a little bit about the blog, because that is new. You guys just celebrated, I saw it today, your 1 month anniversary. So what is that? The lint anniversary, the 1 month
Is that the lint anniversary? I thought it was the dust mite.
Oh, okay.
Bacteria maybe.
The 1/12th anniversary. How did you guys come up with wanting to do a blog? Do expand into the new
well,
media?
I kind of thought it would be a great idea for us to do, and you know, I'm not just saying it because I'm on your show. I kind of got the idea of doing a blog from itricks.com.
Oh.
It's true. We're looking for more ways to reach out to the kids of today out there on the interweb. So I thought a blog would be a great place to do, because people get addicted to those things like crazy. I know I'm a member of the Facebook group. You know, iTricks is my crack.
Yes. Make sure we plug that one.
Soon enough, it'll be Fun Inc. is my crack.
Oh, okay, all right.
John, crack is whack.
Yeah.
Don't you know that? Nothing. I was just Whitney Houston comment. That's all.
Oh.
Well, there we go. Way to bring everything to a screeching halt, Tomas.
We can edit that out, right? Don't hurt me.
What I was going to say is that John would rather be a drug dealer than a magic dealer.
Well, there's more money in it, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
No, this is the kind of depth and insight that the listeners of the Magic Week in Review have come to expect. Finally, we crack this smiling facade of Fun Incorporated to reveal the horrendous underbelly.
Yeah, if you want to get rich, don't go into magic. That's the lesson, kids.
Oh, and certainly don't go into internet magic, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah, it's even worse.
All right. Well, as we mentioned at the top of the podcast, Chris Angel isn't dead or seriously injured. However, that's what scores of the loyal feared last weekend after Angel performed a stunt that seemed to go horribly awry and then didn't pop up to reassure the gathered crowd he was okay. Things really got out of hand when the crew taping Mind Freak didn't calm down the fretting masses, who then took to the internets and began calling local radio stations with the news. Thankfully, Angel was spotted mere hours later taking in the UFC pay-per-view event. He has since apologized for the misunderstanding after some level-headed moderators on his official website stomped out many of the rumors before they really got out of hand. Guys, how guilty is Angel for not showing his face after the stunt?
How can he forget? What's his excuse? You know, I forgot to, you know, end the magic trick.
Yeah, definitely guilty.
Definitely guilty.
It is kind of cool. I mean, it's obvious that he's doing like the Britney Spears type negative. I don't know. He seems like he's trying to get the rumors starting, obviously, to create a word of mouth and, you know, people saying, oh, what's up with Chris Angel? You know, trying to keep it exciting.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
My feeling is that he's just playing the celebrity game. I don't know. Basically what Tomas said, I don't have anything to add there.
Yeah, if on one hand, you know, I kind of have the feeling that if it were a straight publicity stunt, it may have been on a little bit bigger scale. Because the only people who really got worried about it were super, super hardcore fans who got, the words, like message board stuff spreads. Then all of a sudden, everybody's commenting on MySpace. And there was like a dig.com post reporting that people were calling radio stations. But it didn't really seem like a very wide swath. And he apologized before things really, really blew up. But on the other hand, shouldn't fans gathering to watch a magic demonstration really, should they have gotten this panicked? I mean,
you figure that, you know, they were probably clued into everything because they probably had to sign some, you know, non-disclosure agreement, and they probably did know, they just couldn't talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
That's my understanding, is that, you know, the way it works is if you're going to go watch him tape something, basically you shut your mouth.
Well, except for those who email into our Chris Angel Watch podcast, our spies.
But why wouldn't he just, you know, ta-da, why would he come out and be like, I'm okay now? Why wouldn't he do that?
You'd think he'd show up to maybe sign a few autographs, take some pictures at the end of the
day. Get some chick's phone number.
Yeah.
Well, the word from, and normally from what we've heard in terms of the Criss Angel fans that emailed that podcast, he's normally very, very good at that. He's very good at kind of pressing the flesh and saying thank you to everybody after each stunt. What happened this time, if the official word is what actually happened, is it was just really a misunderstanding that he wound up having schedules kind of pressed together. He had to leave before things before he was able to go out and do his time out there with the people, and it was a misunderstanding with his crew that they were supposed to calm everybody down, and you know, they were too busy kind of winding up cables to do that. So everybody kind of went off and started to scream and yell.
Well, I guess we're just going to have to write it off as Criss. Don't let it happen again.
Well, it's just Criss being Criss, I guess, will be how we mark this one down in the annals of history.
I was at Best Buy the other day, and I saw that he had a rock album out.
Oh yes.
Has anybody listened to this rock album?
Well, he actually has several before Mind Freak started. He had three or four before Mind Freak started, and then since Mind Freak, he did the one album that was very much branded in the vein of the television show.
Mm-hmm.
But he has made.
Are the songs magic related songs? Are they
no?
Like pick a card, any card.
No, they're very much in the Godsmack, Korn kind of genre.
Okay.
Although there is,
when I say Elmsley, you say Count.
When I say Elmsley, you say Count. Elmsley.
Count.
Elmsley.
Count. All right. On that note, I don't think we can really reach any higher than that right there. If you guys would like to email the podcast, again, it is show@itricks.com, or you can leave us a voice message by clicking on the Talk to Us icon on the right side bar of the main iTricks page. I want to thank, and really, this is our first panel that we've had here on the Magic Week in Review, and it's been an absolute blast. Gabe Vahoury, John Sterk, and Tomas Medina, thank you guys from Fun Incorporated very, very much.
Love your show.
Can't wait to do it again.
All right. And, of course, royalmagic.blogspot.com is the blog. And then do you guys have an official Fun Inc. website?
Funink.com
that you can buy all of their fantastic Fun Inc. products on. And, again, thank you to our sponsor, TrickShopMagic.com. Again, thank you very much to Sam Blankenship and all the fantastic folks over there, TrickShopMagic.com.
Old Town Temecula, visit.
John, you were just on point when it comes to the follow-ups. I just have you on here all the time.
Hey, I'm not doing anything else.
Except winding up those teeth.
Exactly. Yeah, that's going to take a solid 45 minutes out of John's schedule. Well, until next week, guys, I'm Justin Robert Young for iTricks.com.